preachers that can't keep time, but I have trouble seeing the clock after a little bit. It might be a willingness to not see the clock. I won't say that it isn't. But I did hear the pastor say that we don't have to worry about time today. So I would encourage you to not worry about time today.
Not exactly that way.
That's what I heard. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, if you would. We'll start out with a little bit of reading here. Again, we bring greetings from Tulsa, Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We do have a Bible conference in 2 weeks. I know last minute notice, sorry. Joey will be there. There's no other reason of withdrawal for folks. Joey will be there. We have 3 other preachers coming in as well. But we're looking forward to that. You're all welcome to come and join us. Should be a good time. And I would ask that you pray for our area. I did not know before I got there that so many of our sister churches in that part of the country that this is commonly referred to as the buckle of the Bible Belt are without pastors. Certainly Caldwell, the mission in Holden. There's a sister church on the other side of Tulsa, Cleta Baptist Church. They're also without a pastor. So I would ask you to pray for our community. We strive in Tulsa to try and feed as many of the sheep as we can. We've been going to Caldwell once a month and up to the mission as often as we can. But, these folks need fed more than once a month, so do pray for these churches, if you would, please. A church that isn't here that's been here with us in the past, Philadelphia Baptist Church, is having a Bible conference this weekend over in Decatur, Alabama. So if you're on that side of everything, I would encourage you to pray for them and maybe go and visit them as well. But Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit." Who had his dwelling among the tombs. And it's important that we know here that no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Not just that he couldn't be bound, but that they tried. I'll come back to that in a little bit. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Again, not because that he could not be tamed, but remember this, because they tried to. This man, according to Luke's parallel account, Luke 8, verse 27, is also naked. He's also without clothes. And going on here in Mark, it says, "And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he, motivated by the legion, motivated by what he's possessed by, saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?'" We know based on his confession that it's not the man of the Gadarenes that says this. It's the demons. You should acknowledge they worship this Lord Jesus Christ. They understand his authority and his power better than we do most days. And we're Christians. We are born again believers. We're called to follow this more than man, but 100% man and 100% God. But here the demons run and worship him. He says, "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, all of Legion besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea." There are about 2,000. And they were choked in the sea. That's exactly what the demon would have done with this man of the Gadarenes. It's exactly what the devil has in mind for us. We have a Savior. We have a man, a God that stands in between such things. We'll continue. "And they that fed the swine and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, and they see him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid." We like to read that they were excited. They were rejoicing. They were overjoyed that this man that they tried to bind, this man that they tried to restrict, this man that they tried to censor, this man that they tried to tame, is in his right mind. He's clothed. He's proper. He's respectable. But they were afraid. They were terrified.
Yep.
And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray to Jesus to depart out of their coasts. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Albeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. This man had been possessed by a legion of devils and was set free. His heart was made to long after being in the Lord's presence. This man who at one point violently snapped and lunged at the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking only in the tongue of the devil, saying, Get away from me, leave me be, now longed to be aboard the ship, now longed to be beside his Savior. Pages keep trying to turn on me. This man was different. There would be a time for him to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus makes it clear to him that the fields are ripe for harvest. There's a work to be done. He's now to be a laborer. Look at the last verse there in verse 20, and then we'll get the title. Mark 5, verse 20, and he departed, this man that was once possessed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. I want to consider Dr. Luke's account again. Luke chapter 8, verses 38 through 40. It says, Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way. And it says, He published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. I hope to preach here this morning, if I stay focused and on task, begin to publish, or more appropriately after Brother Bob's message last night, cast the net. We have a theme, beloved. The Lord did not have a study together. He's stringing these things together because this work needs to be done.
Amen.
This message also connects well with eschatology, and you'll see that at the end. I think we are at the end. I think we're in the last days right now. And we might have more work to do than our forefathers did when this building was erected. When the likes of Brother Mink and Brother Cockrell and so on and so forth were preaching the gospel. It should be noted they were preaching the gospel. And it should be noted that those that followed them preached the gospel. And it should be noted that those who call themselves Christians today, they are either conceited in doing so wrongly, because that is a name given to us by our enemies because of our fruit, or we might be the laziest bunch of Christians this world has ever seen. The end is not coming upon us because we stopped working. It's coming upon us because it was scheduled to. But an apostasy is scheduled to come upon us as well. Will we be as those of the nation of Israel that got to the coast and said, Are there not enough graves in Egypt? Are there not enough graves in the world? Or will we follow our Lord and Savior? There are just three things I want to look at here this morning. We too were once dead. We too are now living laborers. And lastly, we too are of less value than the dead swine to those of this world. I know it's not as illiterate as most Baptist preachers would like to do. This is a little tougher of a message, I think. It is not a message of encouragement.
Right.
It is a message of a great challenge that lies before us. And as Brother Bob said last night, I'm weak in this area too. What a shame. This is the very thing I'm called to do. Not just as a preacher, but as a born-again believer. And I am weakest in this. I would rather dig you trenches. I'm better at digging holes, beloved, than this. Lord, help us. We, too, were once dead. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm aware that it's a very familiar text, but look at it with me, if you will, please. It's a reminder, not a subtle one either, that we were once dead in our trespasses. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. The walk according to the course of this world is described by this man who was possessed, by the way, in Mark 5. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation or our citizenship in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, that means something's changing.
Yes, it does.
Something's changing in the narrative here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And he hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Paul goes on, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not the merit, not the earnings, not what you deserve. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Right.
Now maybe we sit here and we hear Mark 5 and we say, okay, but I don't know that I was ever lost to the degree of this possessed man. He was possessed with many, many demons, a legion of demons. I'd like for you to refocus for a minute.
Yep.
I won't argue if you were as lost as this man, but if you're here and saved, you are as saved as this man was at the end.
Right.
Look what he did. He began to publish. He began to tell all of Decapolis the great things that Jesus had done on him. You imagine, you open the door, and there's the possessed naked weirdo at your door, fully dressed, telling you about a man that healed him. Kind of hard to argue with the evidence.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to argue and say, maybe you're somebody else. Maybe you're his brother. Matthew tells us there were two. Maybe they confused him with the other guy who was possessed and healed. I don't know. It's kind of hard to argue with somebody who stands before you and says, I was lost and am now saved. He's not saying what the Lord needs to do in their life. He's not saying, you are filthy, you are awful, you are ungodly. He's saying, I was filthy, awful, and ungodly, and the Lord saved me. He did a work in me.
Right.
He said, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and the Lord quickened me. He's saying, I didn't do anything to deserve this. Y'all know me. I broke chains and fetters. I lunged at you. I growled at you. I shouted obscenities at you. I roamed about the tombs. What on earth could I have done to have earned the favor of God? You find yourself there, you got the right perspective.
Right.
You find yourself there, you suddenly realize you're a laborer for Christ, right? Because you didn't earn that salvation. What if somebody saw you walking down the street with your salvation and accused you of stealing it? You thought about that? That's the guilt that, I don't know about the other preachers, but that's the guilt that hits me. What if I'm living a life where my testimony looks like I stole salvation? Where it looks like I don't actually deserve salvation because I walk around like this all the time. Golly Biden, golly Kamala. And I'm mad at everybody all the time, but I have eternal peace.
Right.
I have salvation in Christ Jesus. Who's going to want it from the guy who's roaming down the road, grumbling at everybody?
Right.
That guy looks like he stole salvation. That guy looks like he doesn't actually have salvation. What do you look like?
Yeah.
I preached a message in Caldwell. I'm not boasting my own message, but that last one I preached there, it shook me up. And I'll just say it wasn't the outline that was in front of me. So you call yourself a disciple. And we share everything online like you all do, so you can go look it up. But there's some things in this Bible that I think as Baptists we've qualified as, well, that's, you know, as Mink wrote, that's the Baptist bride. If I want that, I'll have to be like that. But if I just want to get into the kingdom, that's the wrong mentality, beloved.
Right.
That's the absolute worst mentality. Who on the 54-man squad of the Dallas Cowboys, because I bring them up every time I'm here, who is on that roster that says, I just want to be on this bench? I don't ever want to be in that lineup. Dolphins backup quarterback looked like he just wanted to be on the bench the other day. He never intended to be on that field, I promise you. But beloved, we're not fans. We're followers.
Yes, we are.
And we're not just watching the boat sail off. We've been called to be fishers of men. We've been called to work and cast the net. That was a great message, but I wish we had a little more time where he could have told us, that's work!
Yeah.
That's work! Have a fisherman come in here and talk about how easy, quote unquote, it is to cast a net and drag it back in again. It's work!
It is.
And it's our work. It's what we are called to do. That's our second point. We are now living laborers. This man that was freed from this demonic possession, this demoniac, if you will, he was never told to publish how lost he was. He was told to publish how saved he was. Right. We get real distracted with, well, I'm better than Charlie. And I'm kind of the same as Joey. So I'm doing okay. I'm supposed to tell the world that I am completely free. I have been saved, that my sins are as far as the east is from the west. Sorry, I'm a little mixed up in this building. As far as the east is from the west, they'll never catch up with one another. I am so free, he doesn't have to die again. I am so free that though I am failing miserably at casting the net and beginning to publish, he still loves me. For whatever reason he possibly could, he still does. Listen to Romans 3, and if you want to turn to Romans, I'm going to read Romans 6 right after this. Romans 3, again, very familiar text, but don't just take preacher's word for that. You ought to see these verses. You ought to wear out those pages. Prove that they're very familiar text. One day, your child or your grandchild is going to hold your Bible in your hand. And when that page doesn't actually open between Romans 2 and Romans 4, and they think back to how many times daddy or grandpa was told that's familiar text, and they can't even get it apart because it doesn't. Nobody's ever looked at that page before. That's a testimony.
Yeah.
Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. And I love how this is written. Folks in Tulsa know I love to say this next verse. Paul gets on it here. He says, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Paul establishes here that all have sinned, and our justification must come from the Lord Jesus. And it does come freely. By his grace. If you were here and saved, it came as freely to you as it came to that demoniac. That naked, bruised, torn up demoniac who at one point is asking the Lord to leave and just a few minutes later begging for the Lord to give him leave and come with him. Look at Romans chapter 6 with me if you will, and I must read it quickly, so I pray you're in Romans 3 because it's not too far away from Romans 6. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, we throw around the phrase, God forbid, a little loosely. Because in Scripture, this is literally Scripture or God or the living Word of God forbidding the very statement that Paul just said.
Right, right.
It says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead is free from sin.
Yep.
For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you look again at the end of verse 10, he liveth unto God. This is a continual living. That's what the F is adding to that. It's ongoing. And that's the same living that's described in verse 11. Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. A liveth.